Louise McSharry on 2FM.
Now, though, it is 10:30 on a Sunday morning, and you know what that means, my friends. It means it's time to talk pop culture. That's right. Today, we are joined by podcast maven Cassie Delaney to talk us through. Do you like that, Cassie? Podcast maven?
I love that. I'm going to put that on my LinkedIn.
Yeah, I mean, take it. And she's going to talk us through the week's stories in pop culture. And we've got loads to, I always say this, but we really have loads to talk about, Cassie, because this week was the much-awaited Friends reunion.
I know, the 2 hour special. I mean, did it need to be 2 hours? I don't know. 2 hour special Friends reunion. The first time the cast have been in all in a room together, I think, in 17 years, did they say? Yeah. They've never all properly been able to get together prior to this. And it was, I mean, I'm not a fan of reunion shows, but it was very emotional, wasn't it?
Oh, big time. And like I said on the show yesterday, that actually the analysis of whether or not it was good or bad is almost irrelevant to me, because it what it's really about is nostalgia. And it's nostalgic for them, and it's nostalgic for you, because, you know, for those of us who are in the millennial category, like, we watched this growing up. Like, we didn't binge this over the last number of years, as I know lots of people have, and that's absolutely fine. But like, if you grew up with this show, it hits different.
Oh, totally. Because we grew up when we all saw ourselves in the cast, you know, like we wanted to be one of them. You were either Ross or Rachel or Chandler or Monica. And we waited for it week on week. I think it was on like RT2 on, you know, a Tuesday night or something.
Yeah.
And we had to watch it weekly. And also, I grew up in the age where maybe I was a little bit younger and like I wasn't allowed to watch it for a while because it was too grown up, you know. So it was that like cool program that everyone wanted to engage with, and there was nothing funnier on the TV than Friends.
No.
So to see it, and then there was this kind of, there was this segment during the reunion that it touched loads of different countries, so they kind of showed how it actually expanded globally. It was in, you know, a crazy amount of countries, dubbed in Spanish, French, Japanese, you know, it was just everywhere. And they interviewed people talking about what Friends meant to them growing up. And that was just, it was just so touching to see that everybody found something in Friends that inspired them.
Well, I obviously have like a black heart of coal, because that was my least favorite bit of the entire thing. I was like, all right,
there was
come
a
on.
Bit.
The sob
it started
stories.
And there was, Malala was talking about how it bonded her with her best friend, which I thought was
that
beautiful.
That was great.
Yeah. And then there was a bit where it was like, oh, it helped me to make friends. And then the two guys from Ghana who were like, we didn't have confidence to go out and speak to girls, so we watched Friends. I was like, cute, yeah. Cute, cute. Then there were people talking about it helped them get through their parents' death. And I was like, this has gone too far.
Yes.
This has gone too
yeah,
far.
Pull it back,
like,
pull it back.
Friends, a sitcom is not going to help you, sir. You need therapy. And I do not recommend you sit down and just binge Friends if you're going through a hard time.
Yeah, and like, I mean, look, can a TV show help you through a hard time? Yes, it can distract you, it can entertain you, but it just tonally, it felt a bit off with the rest of the show. But anyway, there was lots, I loved just seeing them all together and seeing the vibe. And I loved when they talked about kind of what it was like to be them at the time, and the fact that it was such a phenomenon and such a kind of game changer for all of them, that really the only people who could connect with at the time were each other.
Yeah, that was really beautiful, because we don't, I mean, it was in that era of them being on every magazine cover.
Yeah.
You know, we just cannot fathom that level of fame, and to see how global it was as well. I can't imagine what it's like. The fact that it still continues to this day, you know, they're kind of, they're still the Friends cast. It's still, they're still, their most notable roles are still what they've done in Friends, even though I do think Jennifer Aniston deserves more attention for Cake, but that's a story for another day. I think that it's beautiful that they still have that connection. You can see that they genuinely are very good friends, except I'll say maybe for Matthew Perry, doesn't seem like he kept in touch with them that much.
Yes, there was a strange vibe there, which I think actually, the less said the better about that, but there was I agree, there was a strange vibe. Matt LeBlanc obviously came across as a total sounder and has been brought into the hearts and minds of Irish people via the Uncle Joey meme, which I for one am living for.
Yeah, Matty Bawn, I think they're calling him on Twitter now, isn't he? Just he just looks like your dad's brother.
Yes.
that's the only way to describe him. Like, just he looks sitting there cross-legged, stretched out.
It's the short-sleeved shirt. That's what did
the minute he entered in, I was like, it's like he's got his finery from the men's section in Dunstores. Absolutely gorgeous little outfit on him, but he didn't look like he was appearing on TV for the first time in 17 years.
No, he really didn't. Well, in fairness to him, he has done other stuff. He's done Top Gear, which, by the way, apparently is where he met his... Because people kept saying to me, I was saying yesterday, I wonder, does Matt LeBlanc know about his meme status in Ireland? And people kept pointing out that he has or had a girlfriend from Fermanagh. And apparently he met her through Top Gear, which he did. And then he did... Remember, he did Extras, and he was really good on Extras. Yeah. So like he
has done
bits
and pieces. She's obviously dressed him for the reunion then.
Yeah, but a look. I mean, I love it's so affectionate. Like the way, and the tweets are so good. If you haven't seen the tweets and the memes, like honest to God, you're missing out. Twitter has made them a highlight or whatever they call them, trending things. So they're very easy to find, but it is very funny. It's Uncle Joey, you know, it's Matt LeBlanc asking you all the things your uncle might ask you when you're in your granny's, you know, on Christmas Day and you only see him once a year or whatever. It's very, very good. I love it.
Very, very funny. Yeah.
And then for me, I think my favorite revelation was the Ross and Rachel, David and Jennifer one.
I mean, yeah.
Oh no, no, there's some reticence there, Cassie, please, come on, expand.
Do I fully buy it? I don't know. I think they definitely have, there was like little clips Cynicism. And little snippets of them clearly flirting on set, then talking about how they kind of never fully got together because they, you know, they kept saying they really crushed hard on each other, but they were always in other relationships.
Sorry, I have a clip here so people can hear David Schwimmer and Jennifer Aniston talking about this, and then you can come to your own conclusions and we'll ask Cassie more about hers.
Yeah, the first season, I had a major crush on Jen, but it was like two ships passing because one of us was always in a relationship. So, and we never crossed that boundary, you know, we respected that, but we both.
I remember saying one time to David, it's going to be such a bummer if the first time you and I actually kiss is going to be on national television.
Matty Bond there with the BS call, by the way, in the background. Yeah, so you're not buying it. I totally buy it. Put your cynicism aside.
I mean, I love what they say about they channeled all that energy into Ross and Rachel. And that's what makes Ross and Rachel the best TV couple
ever.
Of all time,
yeah.
Bar maybe Jack and Vera from Coronation Street, but they are fantastic together. And you can really see that there was an energy and there was a building of up to something, and we always felt like they belonged together, and it was beautiful. And if they were inspired by real events, then that's cute. And they played the clip of the first kiss, and you can see that it's a passionate moment. I just don't understand why they just like don't get together now.
I know.
Like, aren't they both single?
I know. Well, I'm sure everyone is thinking the same thing. And who knows? You never know. Like, you meet up with an old colleague. Maybe the sparks are still there. I thought David Schwimmer came across really well as well. Like, as just a nice guy.
Totally. I think they all came across really, really well. And there was such... Even the question to Lisa Kudrow about whether they would go on and do it again... And she was like, I've talked that, first of all, it's the decision of the show's creators. But secondly, we don't want to unravel the happy endings to create conflict for there to be a story to tell. And I just thought that was lovely. It was just like, no, it's perfect. It's perfectly formed. They all respect that. Yeah. Nobody is trying to, you know, bring it back for a revival or another movie or, you know,
and
anything
also,
like that to try and get a paycheck.
Surely they don't need a paycheck. I mean, I presume they'd be getting residuals from the reruns of that show into Kingdom Come. Like, they famously negotiated their contracts very well, so I'm sure none of them is stuck for a book.
No, absolutely not. But they did. It was just so nice to see them all together. And a little shout out to James Gordon, because I'm not a fan of him, and I was like, why have they thrown him in there? But I think he did a good job.
Yeah, and he was minimally in it, in fairness. So,
yeah,
like,
he
even
was.
If he
was very little of him.
He's one of those people, though, he has definitely developed, you know, a kind of a hate following. Hate is a strong word, but people who just really can't stand him and who, like, it's growing. It's like it's almost become like a cool thing to not like him, which is not ideal. But even if you are one of those people, he's really not in it that much. Look, we've got lots more to talk about, but we've talked so much about Friends, I think it's time for us to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to talk Rita Ora and the action she's getting. Paul Mescal is singing. Lil Nas X had a wardrobe malfunction. And Kim Kardashian got COVID. It's all coming up after this.
Louise McSherry on 2FM.
That is CMAT and I Don't Really Care For You on 2FM. We are talking pop culture. Cassie Delaney, a podcast maven, has joined us from Tall Tales Podcast Production. Hi, Cassie. Cassie.
Hi.
So we've got
that
lots.
Was really loud.
Okay. So we've got lots to talk about, and let's start with Rita Ora. If anyone listens to the Who Weekly podcast, all I can think is, what's Rita Ora up to? Which is a regular slot on that podcast. If you don't listen and you're into this kind of stuff, can I just recommend it? Who Weekly. Anyway, Cassie, what's Rita Ora up to?
So Rita Ora and her new beau, Taika Waititi, have been in Sydney, which we know, we talked about it last time they're together. Mm-hmm. They kind of announced they were dating in April when they appeared at RuPaul. But they've had an all-night rager, and their friend Tessa Thompson has now been brought into the romantic relations. A lot of people asking if they're in a throuple or if they're together, because there was these paparazzi photographs snapped of them very early in the morning after a night out, which they're all kind of like spaghettied around each other. Like, there's just limbs everywhere. Yeah. They're all sitting on top of each other. There's a little bit of kissing going on back and forth, and the world is like, oh my God, are they a throuple? I don't think they're a throuple. I don't think it's a romantic agreement that they have.
I think they had a mad one.
There are three people who've had an absolutely great time and are licking each other. Like, that is just it.
Or just having a smooch. I just loved this so much. I don't know why it made me so happy, but I was like, yes, they're in Australia. It's a post-COVID world. And like, you can do that. I mean, who's to say we won't all be wearing the faces off anyone who comes near us when the pandemic is over?
That's absolutely it. They've just had a great night out. Now, I have a lot of sympathy for them, because if you could imagine a paparazzi taking photographs of you the morning after a rager, when they have the glasses of Prosecco with a smidgen of orange juice in them. It's like, they are not mimosas.
In fairness, they were on Taika Waititi's balcony. It's not like they were, you know, yes, of course, I'm sure they knew that the balcony was visible, but it's not like they were in a public place. You know, they were, you know, in outside his house. And also what I thought was interesting was that what wasn't in the original photos that were released was a guy who Tessa Thompson has been seen smooching was also there on that balcony. He just wasn't involved in the spaghetti situation at that moment. I mean, who's to say? Who knows? But also, like, I just, you know, I love to see people living their lives, and do whatever you want. Smooch however many people you want, as long as everyone's, you know, giving permission and consensual and happy about it.
It seemed totally fine. And, you know, they just got to the point in the night where they decided that they loved everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was that moment of, like, just bringing everybody into an embrace and being like, I love you so much. No, I love you so much. No, you're wonderful. Yeah. They're just the girls' bathroom on a balcony.
I agree. And also, they are all very beautiful people. I mean, it's
absolutely
just
stunning.
So understandable in my view. Okay, let's move on. Paul Mescal is starring in a new crime podcast, which is not something I would have predicted. And the theme song for the podcast has been released, which features Paul Mescal singing.
Yeah, it's so exciting. So there's a new kind of, it's called Black to the Bed. And is a Spring Hill production. So it's a series of podcasts, or a series of individual episodes, fictionalized, that I think are all around kind of the theme of horror or tension. You know, I think that's the kind of vibe they're going for. Mm. So there's actually a total number of Irish actors who are in the lineup. So the comedy duo from The Young Offenders, Tom Vaughan Lawher, Peter Coonan, Niamh McCann. It's a great lineup. So basically, it's they're all individual episodes, and Paul's episode is going to be released on the 15th of June. Mm. But like, I just think this is really cool. He's doing loads of stuff since Normal People. He's up in Donegal shooting God's Creatures at the moment, and he has wrapped on a production with Maggie Gyllenhaal called The Lost Daughter. Mm. So he's doing loads of stuff. He's doing film, he's doing TV, obviously. And then he's just kind of like diversifying into this idea of fictionalized audio programming, which I think is really exciting. And what I think is brilliant is that it's a really new production company, Spring Hill, that are putting this together. Mm. They look incredible. Their website looks fantastic. It's clear that it's going to be an incredible production. But it's just fantastic to see the sort of standard of Irish artists supporting a new production company. You know, like, Paul Mescal could easily get anything he wanted right now. He's kind of, you know,
so hot right
he's,
now.
He's everyone's after him. So to see him support an Irish production company, I think is deadly. I'm really looking forward to it. I love fictionalized podcasts, so I think it's really, really cool.
Well, let's have a listen to him singing the theme song. It's called Black to the Bed.
So I met her at night, when the last of the light casts its spell on the leaves and the grass. And when the bank floods, you can still smell the blood, and the water runs black to the bed.
There you go. Beautiful. Fair play. Fair play, Paul Mescal. Now,
he's very talented.
He's a very talented young man now. So let's talk Lil Nas X, because Lil Nas X did an incredible performance on SNL. And I think afterwards, him and the guys who he performed with were kind of like, wow, did we do that? Because it might have been the gayest performance that was ever on TV.
Oh my God, it's so gay. It's so fantastic. It is absolutely magnificent. What I think is brilliant is, you know when they say if you're performing, you're on stage or you're doing something, if something goes wrong, you never let the audience know.
Oh,
you just continue on as normal.
Keep it
but
going.
Lil Nas X was doing a performance sliding down a fireman pole.
Of course.
Surrounded by loads of sexy men.
Yeah.
And he split his pants. His leather pants.
He sure
split
did.
Split open at the crotch.
We have a little clip of him telling Jimmy Fallon about the incident. So let's hear it in his words. Yeah.
When did you realize something happened?
I was pretty much, going down on the pole, doing my little sexy drop down, and boom, I feel air. I'm
like, I feel air.
Okay, I was like, there's definitely a breeze going on, and I also felt like some popping, like still happening while I was down there. So I was like, oh God, I hope it's not. I was like, just please don't be on TV already, you know? And SNL is actually live. So
there goes that, yeah.
So, yeah, he split his trousers.
I know, it's so relatable, though, isn't it? The same thing happened to me getting into the car with a pair of jeans, but I didn't have an audience of millions of people looking at me. But I, too, felt a breeze. But he has this, there's this fantastic screenshot of his face the moment it happened. He's just, like, he can't hide it. Something has happened. And then he kind of squirms off the stage later on, because he says to Jimmy Fallon, he's like, I couldn't turn around because everybody was going to see everything.
Yeah, and he of course has made, because he's brilliant on TikTok, he's made several TikToks about it, which are very entertaining. He's so lovable. I love him.
He's so lovable. Yeah. And what I think is really great about this is, like you said, is the gayest performance we've ever seen on TV. His song Call Me By Your Name is controversial because he's just in the video for the song, he's like lap dancing on somebody dressed as the devil. So controversial, but it's been covered everywhere, you know? Like, years ago, if something this gay was on SNL, we'd just be ignoring it. But, like, this story of him splitting his trousers is on The Guardian.
Yeah.
Like, it's fantastic.
He's
an icon.
It is, not to get too deep, but it is, in our lifetime, what has changed. It is absolutely incredible. Is that your dog?
It is. Sorry. They all just want to make an appearance.
We've had guest sounds from Cassie's cat, Cassie's dog. I'm loving it. Very quickly, before I let you go, Cass, what's going on with Kim Kardashian and COVID?
Oh, God, love her. So Kim got COVID, but she'd like to stress and let us all know that she did not get COVID from their big sort of breakaway secret island birthday party celebration. But like most of us, she got COVID because Saint got it from school. So she, just before she was taking kind of they call it the baby bar, the bar exam, she actually got struck down with COVID. So she wasn't able to study as much as she wanted to. And she said that it was 5-year-old Saint who caught the virus at school late last year and passed it on to her and then passed it on to the 3 other children. Mm. So yeah, they got it. I mean, just goes to show that you can't get it from a private island, but you can get it from a school, or that COVID impacted everybody, you know?
Kim Kardashian, she's just like us.
Just like us. Very relatable. I, too, have not passed the bar.
Yeah, same. Probably never will, to be honest.
No.
Cassie Delaney, thank you so much. That's Cassie Delaney of Tall Tale Podcast Productions. Are you doing anything nice in the sun today now, Cass?
Well, I have my shorts on, and I think I'm just going to head towards the seaside.
I love it.
Go
love
for
that
a little
for you.
Stroll.
Well, enjoy, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Louise McSherry on 2FM.